Let us pray. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts. Open our whole selves. God, open us to you and your word for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I started to explore the city of Richmond on the way home because it is the best season to do it. In a rainy and dark season from last November through February, I sometimes lost my way and found what Reverend Maggie told me at the beginning of the ministry meant. She said, "Please be careful. Richmond is the city of maize." But now, there is no cloud in the sky, and we can enjoy walking until 9 p.m. Such a grace. Last Wednesday, I drove down to Dyke Road from number 2 road and had a time of meditation for a while at the seashore. Such a beautiful seashore. The sea was very quiet and beautiful, and the gentle wave and the breeze seemed to cleanse and refresh my body and soul and heart and spirit. I thought of how lucky I am to work in such a good location where I can visit this beautiful seashore easily, almost every day. In this beautiful season, many of you may work at the dike and may have the same feeling. How lucky I am to be here. Although water sometimes causes huge disasters such as flood and tsunami, many times it cleanses and restores our body and spirit. In the Bible and the Christian tradition, water has important meanings such as giving a new life through baptism, source of life and healing. In today's story of Naaman, water cleansed his body and gave him new life. But interestingly, his healing didn't happen by his faith in God, but through the faith of unnamed slave girl and his servants. When Elisha worked as a prophet in Israel, Israel was terrified by the northern eastern country Aram again and again. Naaman was the commander of the country, defeated Israel, and took one of the Israelite girls to his house and let her serve his wife. When Naaman suffered from leprosy, this unnamed slave girl bravely told his wife, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." I wonder how this girl could hold her trust in God in spite of her traumatic memories of the war and her severe circumstances, and how she could be courageous to express her faith to her mistress, who was her enemy before. Sometimes I am overwhelmed by the stories of tragedy and hardship shared by our guests to the community meal or the visitors to the church, even though I have been a minister of the church for over 16 years and have seen and heard various kinds of hardships of people's life. Honestly, sometimes I don't have the words of prayer, but I question to God, "God, why is such a tragic life possible to exist? Why do you put such a heavy burden on such weak and vulnerable people?" However, this unnamed girl of Israel gives us a hope like a shimmering light in a darkness. No matter what kind of hardships or tragedy we experience, the Spirit is working within us. Sometimes it looks faint, but it is never consumed. In contrast to this unnamed girl, the king of Israel lacked his trust in God and didn't recognize the presence of God's prophet Elisha in his own country. He was terrified by the letter and gifts from the king of Aram and torn his clothes, showing his fear and anger. This contrast between the unnamed slave girl and the king of Israel shows us that there is no relationship between physical and social power and spiritual power. No matter how weak and vulnerable physically, mentally, materially, and socially, we can be rich and strong spiritually if we trust in God, who is working among us and within us through the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, hearing the news of the visit of Naaman, Elisha sent a message to his king and led Naaman to come to himself. But interestingly, Elisha neither welcomed Naaman nor touched his body to heal him. He just sent a messenger to Naaman saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." Naaman got angry. Why? He was not respected and well treated by Elisha as a commander of Aram. And Elisha's message seemed to be stupid for him. The river of Damascus, which is the capital of Aram, seemed to be much better than the Jordan. He turned away to go home in rage, but his servants changed his mind. "You have been longing for your healing. So if the prophet had commanded you do a very difficult thing, you would have done it. But it is not difficult. Just go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times. Why don't you try it? You may lose nothing if you have done it." Apparently, Naaman's power and wealth as a military commander obstructed his acceptance of the very simple instruction of Elisha. But his unnamed servants, who had neither power nor authority, could accept it as grace. The contrast between Naaman and his servants is parallel to the contrast between the king of Israel and unnamed girl in this story. It may say, God's love and power of healing are poured whenever human power and authority don't exist. On the story of Luke, Jesus appointed another 70 people besides his 12 disciples and sent them to every town and place where he had never been. Jesus said, "I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." He recognized their weakness and powerlessness, but he commanded, "Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals." Please think about that. Who can recognize and accept such a shabby person as a messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ? I think Jesus challenged the 70 people. Not only the 70 people, but also the people of where they would go, and showed them that God's love and power work whenever human power ceases to exist. The 70 people who were sent by Jesus with trust in his words and power of God came back with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." Even though they have no power materially and physically, they could drive demons out and heal the sick because of their trust in Jesus. Now, We have so many people who are sick and wounded physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in our community. Many people are struggling with pain and fear, even though they went to clinic and received medication. What we can do is just holding these people in our prayer, trusting God. Sometimes we may feel we are too powerless to hold these people. But today's story tells us the healing will happen not by our power, but by the power of God, through our trust and faith in God. So let us keep our friends who are sick, wounded, in pain, in distress, in fear and anxiety, in our prayer day and night. We trust it is not only for them, but also for our faith. After washing his body 7 times in the Jordan, Naaman's body was restored like the flesh of a young boy. He became clean and he confessed his faith in God to Elisha. Naaman's story also invites us to think and ponder about what healing means in the Bible and Christian tradition. He was not only healed physically, but also was born in a new life. He was completely transformed as a new person. The story tells us that the most weak and powerless people can convey the message of healing and transformation, and it can happen only by the trust in God. May each one of us be such a messenger of healing and transformation this week. May each one of us be a witness of God's healing and transformative power working in the midst of most vulnerable places. May God help us. May God help us to keep our trust no matter what happens in our lives.